Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. We have one of the finest chefs in the region in the studio with us today to answer your questions about food and fine dining. Chef Eric Bolton is the executive chef at the Century House in Latham. He's a graduate of Johnson & Wales University and has 25 years of culinary experience. You know, he's also a Capital Region native and enjoys bringing a flavorful local influence to his cooking. So let's get to know Chef Eric Bolton today. Give us a call. The number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also comment on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. Tweet us, if you wish, at WAMC Vox Pop, or you can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the phone number is 800-348-2551. Also with us today is Monica LaBrie. I hope I said that correctly. Director of Hospitality at the Century House. And, well, Eric and Monica, nice to have you both here.
Thanks for having us.
So, well, Chef Bolton, you're from the area, huh?
Yes, grew up in Burn Hills.
And so you went far away and came back. What brought you back?
Family. This is where my family is, where I, you know, grew up. I like the area.
Yeah. And so I don't even know where Johnson & Wales University is. Where is that?
They're all over now, but I went to Providence, Rhode Island.
Oh, okay. So not that far. You stayed in the Northeast.
Yeah.
And so where did you go after college and before you came back here?
After college was, I did come back here.
Oh, you came directly back?
Yep.
And you've been at the Century House for how long now?
I've been there back and forth for about 20 years.
Now, I got to tell you, I have not been. So you got to tell me, what's a standard I bring my wife for dinner? What can I expect?
It's great. It's fine dining. The menu is always going through changes. A lot of great items, a lot of staples that people come for. You know, great prime rib, great chocolate mousse, which I brought for you guys.
Oh, you brought chocolate mousse. All right. Well, you're already in the Food Friday Hall of Fame. Good for you. That's great. So, Monica, you're Director of Hospitality, and so what do you do there?
That's a great question.
Come a little closer to the microphone.
I am responsible for the service at the Century House.
Okay.
So with Eric, I am responsible for the service of the banquet facility, but also the restaurant.
Okay. And so he bosses you around, right?
That's a little give and take, I
think. Okay. But, you know, chefs can be notoriously difficult to deal with. Is Chef Bolton difficult to deal with?
I can honestly say
he's not.
We have a very good relationship.
Okay.
If you understand a chef's mind.
All right. Well, let's understand the chef's mind. And I got to say, I think there are different models of chef's minds that I've seen on this program. Some are fairly loose and democratic. Some are iron-fisted tyrants. Where do you fall in that?
Probably somewhere in the middle, I would say.
Well, that's a cop-out. All right. So how many people are in your kitchen?
We have about 10 to 12 people in the
yeah.
kitchen.
And so how do you transfer your philosophy and your way of doing things to people who may do things differently?
It depends on the person. I mean, I guess that's where the tyrant personality can come in. You know, you are always busy, it seems, and you're focused and trying to do everything the correct way. So to slow down and have to, you know, go through something with somebody, you know.
Irritating, isn't it?
Sometimes
yeah,
it is,
well,
yes.
We get that with interns here, I'll tell you that. I have no patience. Our number is 800-348-2551. We're joined today on Food Friday by Chef Eric Bolton and Monica LaBrie of the Century House in Latham. And let's go over to line one and Mark in Clifton Park. Mark, you're on.
Hi, I was concerned about when I like to experiment, I don't want to mess everything up, you know, because I do have a family, so I don't want to make everyone angry. One of my concerns is that I'd like to mix spices together, and I was wondering what pairings you'd recommend as far as, like, okay, this spice works with that spice, or this doesn't work so well, and ratios, et cetera. If you're an experimenter, what do you recommend in that regard?
I used to do that, too, before I actually even went to culinary school, you know, when I cooked for my parents or whatever, get dinner going. A lot of it is experimentation, you know, and you do find flavors that go together. Cumin with orange and basil or, you know, a few different things like that. There are things that don't necessarily go together.
As I well know.
Yeah. A lot of it is, though, really experimenting and just, you know, just doing a little at a time and, you know, kind of adjusting from there.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks a lot.
Mark, thank you very much. What's your favorite thing to cook? Favorite dish?
People always ask me that. I don't know if I have a favorite dish. I like making sauces.
Yeah.
You know, fruit barbecue sauces, wing sauces, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know?
All right.
I like to experiment too. I like to try new things. I always, you know, try new flavors.
Okay. So you got to give me something once in a while. So otherwise, it'll be a very long hour. So, you know, come up with something. Even if you're lying, just say, well, I like to make, you know, veal parmesan or something like that. How is your veal parmesan?
Good.
Yeah?
Excellent.
Do you guys do that at the Century House on occasion?
On occasion, yeah, for a special or something.
So prime rib is the thing, huh?
Prime rib.
The prime rib is one of our staples. That and the lobster macaroni and cheese.
Lobster mac and cheese, eh? All right.
Yeah.
Now, you didn't bring that,
that's
right?
That's what I should have brought you.
Yeah, that's okay. That's all right. Nothing wrong. You know, you brought the chocolate mousse. And so we'll try that after our first break. Our number to call here is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Monica, you said that the Century House has been family-owned for 60 years?
That's over 60 years, yeah.
That's crazy.
The O'Hearn family turned a farmhouse from 1849 to this wonderful tavern. They lived right upstairs and had the tavern and the restaurant beneath it. And they built a hotel and a restaurant conference facility all off of the original structure.
Wow.
So we currently serve meals, banquet, and a la carte from the restaurant in the actual 200-year-old farmhouse.
Well, that's really amazing.
It is. It's really remarkable.
History. And for something to be in the same hands for that long in this mm-hmm. day and age is really something.
Truly the best part now is that Dorothy and Jim, who've since passed on, their son and daughter, Susan and Tim, and their cousin Colin are partners. And Colin is a managing partner, so it's really great to have the family actually rolling up their sleeves and being right there in the middle of it with you.
But they don't cook, though, right?
Well,
you don't let the chef. You don't let them
cook,
right?
No.
He's shaking his head. But you can always say yes. You lie on the radio because they may be listening. So, yeah. So this is Vox Pop. It is Food Friday. The number to call is 800-348-2551. If you have a question for Chef Eric Bolton or Monica Labrie, both of the Century House, let's go over to line one, and it's Doug in Steventown. Doug.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. I had
sure.
a question just about, since I've had to have kind of a change in diet, meaning a little bit more fish, and just wondered as far as that's concerned, your favorite seasonings for that.
What kind of fish do you usually bake it? Do you saute it?
Well, what I've got on hand is tilapia.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's all filet. And broiling it generally. So just wondered as far as, you know, some different kinds of seasonings that may go with, you know, broiling fish.
Well, citrus is always good. As, you know, everyone knows, they put lemon on it.
Sure.
You know, there's different herbs that can go with that as far as what your likes are. You know, dill, tarragon, chives, you can get different flavor profiles. And then, you know, changing to orange or lime instead of lemon, too, is always a good idea.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Really, you know, sometimes it's just simple, like lemon, a good olive oil, you know, salt and pepper is really all you need sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I know that I've put some dill on there, and that seemed to work pretty nicely, but I've never tried the tarragon. That's a great idea. I'm going to give that a try. Thank you very much.
Cool.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot for the call, Doug. We appreciate the call. Do you find that people, those of us who are rank amateurs, put too much spice on things? I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I'll just lay the spice on because it covers up a multitude of sins if you can't cook.
Well, not necessarily, you know. I mean, everyone has their own style, you know. Your mom, your sister, everyone has their own, I guess, key dishes that they make.
Yeah, well, I come from a long line of people who can't cook. So, but when you cook at home, I mean, you like the spicy food, you like the more gently spiced things.
Usually not too spicy, you
yeah.
know. I live with my girlfriend and we have the kids, so it's, you know, it kind of has to suit everyone's needs.
It's funny because my kids love spice.
Well, there's a couple dishes that have a little heat, but most of the time they're pretty plain.
All right, let's go over to Don in Glenville. Don.
Hey, good afternoon. I was just wondering, I love to cook, and I'm trying to find the same type of quality meat I might pick up in a restaurant. In other words, when I have a prime rib in a restaurant, it doesn't seem to be, I mean, it seems to be so much better than the prime rib I would pick up at a local purveyor, you know, local butcher. Any advice? Is that simply just the way it works?
It might be, you know, it might be the preparation. It might be how it's cooked. You know, we slow cook ours for like 10 hours, so it does make a difference rather than, you know, just putting it in a conventional oven at home. But there are a lot of good butchers in the area. There are definitely quality meats to be found around here.
So you don't necessarily think it's it's a function of restaurants getting a higher quality grade of meat than the average, consumer?
No, because, you know, our outlets are the same as yours sometimes, you know. What we might get from a purveyor, they might also sell to local markets that you're buying it from. So, you know.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Don. You know, I've had some not-so-good prime ribs at people's houses and very good prime ribs at restaurants. Is that a difficult thing to make?
It's not really. I think people, you know, it's like a crown roast or something. People get too nervous about it.
So it's really intimidating.
You know, it's like, it is intimidating, like cooking a turkey. You know, people always ask me, how do I cook my turkey? I don't know. You know, you just...
Well, you got to know. You clearly cooked a turkey.
Well, a lot of it is slow roasting or, you know, starting it off hot to get the color and then just really slow roasting it. You know?
So you go 10 hours to make a prime rib?
Yeah.
Wow. And so do you sear and then just low and slow from that point?
Just low and slow roasted
in a
moist oven. Yep.
All right, let's take a break here. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Chef Eric Bolton is here from the Century House. It's Food Friday. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Kern Compliance Services Incorporated, Greenwich, New York, and St. Paul, Minnesota. National compliance and regulatory consultants for life insurance carriers and their distribution partners. KernCompliance.com. River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts. A food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar, and a bakery. RiverValley.coop. Cafe Capriccio. Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grand Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted, dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com. The Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York. Announcing their updated website with more information about membership, grants, and loans, so our past has a future. PreserveNYS.org. And Pelham Auto Service at the Amherst Belchertown line, located by the sign of the Flying Pig, a worker-owned and operated service repairing foreign cars since 1972. PelhamAuto.com.
Vox Pop. It's Food Friday. Ray Graff here, 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Chef Eric Bolton of the Century House in Latham and Monica LaBrie, who's Director of Hospitality there, in our newsroom. I got to say, I said Chef Bolton's on. First question, related to Michael Bolton?
No.
Okay, that's Brian Shields. Our senior anchor wanted to know that. All right, so fair enough. We'll get that out of the way. Our number is 800-348. So no calls about Michael Bolton. Is that understood? Let's go to line one. Johanna in Bethel, you're on.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. One of the issues I have when I dine out is I find that so frequently the restaurants oversalt the food. And at a local place I like to go, one time I went and the food was so salty I just couldn't I couldn't sleep that night. So I wouldn't go back to that restaurant. I went then in New York City, they instituted the salt shaker on the menu. I go back to the restaurant, and they've lowered the salt in the food, and it's much better. What does the chef say about salt in restaurant food?
Okay.
I'm going to hang up and listen to your answer.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Yep, have a great weekend. All right, what do you think? Salt too much, too little, just right?
Well, you know, salt brings out the flavor in foods. So, but a lot of people salt at the beginning of something instead of the end. You should wait to season it till, you know,
it's on the plate.
You're finishing it a lot of the times, yeah. You know, in certain recipes. So
I don't know. I like my salt. I got to tell you. Let's go to line two. And Margie in Pine Bush. Margie, you're on.
Hi. I was just wondering, when is the best time to add seasoning when making soups and stews? In the beginning when you're sautéing the onions, or at the end, or both? Because, you know, when can you maintain the strongest flavor?
Love this question. Good question about seasonings. Go.
Well, it depends on the seasonings. Like I said about salt, a lot of times salt is better to add at the end, so it doesn't concentrate, reduce. It'll get too salty. You know, some of the stronger herbs, bay leaf, thyme, things like that should be added into the beginning so they do simmer and carry through. So it depends on the seasonings that you're using. For the most part, you can put them in at the beginning or in the middle of the cooking process.
How about cumin? Or the Indian-type spices?
Always at the beginning. Yeah, I always put that in at the beginning.
Oh, and it maintains its flavor throughout?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And
right.
Yeah, again, salt will bring that out. If you feel like you're losing the cumin flavor as it cooks, you can add your
right.
salt at that point towards the end, and it'll bring up all the flavors for
okay.
you.
Margie,
how about
thanks.
Pepper?
Oh, go ahead.
Wait. Oh, sorry. How about pepper?
Pepper's fine at the beginning, too. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Margie. So, I mean, these things... presumably you learn when you go to school and you learn how to cook, but how much stuff have you learned, the fine points, after you left college?
Well, most of it. I mean, you learn the fundamentals and the basics at school, which I didn't know a lot of before I went there. But it was really working in this area with some of the, you know, the great chefs that I did, was able to work with, where I did, you know, kind of, I guess, develop my own style, but learn more flavor profiles, learn from them, learn new techniques, you know.
It's not for everybody, the business, is it? I mean, how many people, have you ever looked back at those in your class when you were at college and say, well, so-and-so is a stockbroker now? And, I mean, once you're in the business, you get a fast comeuppance and you realize quickly, oh, I can't do this, right?
Yeah, it's definitely not for, it's not an office job, you know. I mean, you're working long hours, you're working the holidays, you're working the weekends, you know. You
yeah.
can miss out on that. But it's, you know, it's fast-paced, it's energetic, you know.
I mean, the secret arcane knowledge you get of seasoning must be make it well worth it, right?
Absolutely.
Let's go back to the phones. And Renee in Schuylerville. Renee, you're on.
Hi. I just have a question about barbecue sauces, and what would you recommend to add fruit? What fruits would you use?
Well, one of my favorites is plum, you know, blackberries. I usually make like a normal barbecue, but omit the tomatoes and really just add the fruit.
That sounds good.
You know, garlic, onion base, the fruit, some sugar content if you need it, and then a vinegar content.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Well, thanks a lot. That wouldn't work with beef. That would work with chicken very well, right? But that's a non-starter for beef.
You can do it with beef. You can do like a Korean barbecue, or you know, have like, you know, orange, mango, something like that in there with soy and stuff.
Mm. All right, over to line 4, and we go to Christian in Pittsfield. Christian, you're on with Chef Eric Bolton of Century
Hello,
House.
Hello, Chef. I have a question about cooking steaks properly. Usually when you get a thick cut, I always mess it up, and it's either undercooked or overcooked. And from what I remember, I was told you got to cook it high and flip it every minute. But usually that doesn't work out. Do you have any suggestions on proper cooking techniques?
Well, you don't have to flip it as many times as people tell you. But it is good to have it high to have a good sear to seal in the juices. So usually you put it down, say, in a high grill. Let it go for like 5-8 minutes, depending on the...
Each side?
On the first side, just let it go to, you know, sear it, caramelize it. And then usually you can just get away with flipping it once for the most part. Again, let it sear on the other side.
So you only sear on one side?
Well, to start. But a lot of people flip back and forth, you know what I mean? But
okay, I guess I'm doing it all wrong.
You need to seal both sides, so, you know. But you can put it on and let it go before you have to flip it, you know, the first time.
Fair enough.
And it doesn't matter if it's an electric oven, electric stove, because the heat is kind of inconsistent, you know?
No, it is harder to gauge an electric stove, but, you know, you do want it like a good medium-high heat to sear it, to seal in the juices.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. You know, when I do London broil, always on the grill, on charcoal. And so maybe I'm doing it completely backwards, because I will sear maybe 1 to 2 minutes each side on the lowest setting, way down by the coals, and then put it up top and just smoke it for, I don't know, like an hour on very low heat. So maybe I'm not searing it long enough?
No, well, it's easier to hold the temperature, like, say, on a strip steak or a smaller cut, you know. If your top is still raw to rare and you have it sealed, can kind of, like, time it better. So once you flip it from there, you know, you're really starting to go, you know, you start going into your rare to mid-rare.
All right. It's been worth it having you here just for that piece of information. Let's go to Virginia in Delmar. Virginia, you're on with Chef Eric Bolton.
Okay, thank you. I have to say first that I've never had a bad meal at the Century House. The food is absolutely delicious.
The publicist is nodding her head.
Well, it's so true, and the service is great. Now, my question is, I often buy tough meats. I don't know whether it's because of the price or I'm just that way, but I'm wondering, what does one use to marinate these kind of meats? Wine?
Well, it depends, I guess, on the recipe you're going for. If it's like a classic traditional recipe, wine or vinegar will help break it down.
Yeah.
If you're going something like Asian or something like that, soy sauce and citrus, you know, will help break it down.
Like a red wine or sweet wine?
Red wine, more of like probably a dry wine.
Okay. All right.
Is that a function of time, too? The longer you let it marinate, the better off you will be?
It will to a certain extent, but it comes down to the cooking too, you know, cooking it, you know,
so
long and low enough or slow enough so that it does break down the meat and becomes tender.
Right. So then if I marinate it, I can then, let's say for 4 hours, would that be long enough?
Yeah, depending on the cut of meat. Absolutely.
Okay. And then to grill it, one would sear it?
Yep, on the outdoor grill?
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to seal both sides to seal when the juice is.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. That's good.
Thank you, Virginia. We appreciate the call. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Chef Eric Bolton is here. He is the executive chef at the Century House in Latham. We're also joined by Monica LaBrie, director of hospitality at the Century House. What's on the menu tonight?
I believe we have a nice swordfish special.
Oh, fantastic. And
just
how do you do that?
Swordfish in tonight. I'm not sure what I'm doing with it yet, actually.
Really? So after the show,
he
figures it
out?
That's
the best part. My favorite thing to do is, Eric, I want something for lunch, and I get surprised. It's
really?
Amazing. Yeah, that's my absolute favorite thing. I think it's 90% of why I like the guy.
Well, I mean, he seems fairly serious, so I mean, it must take some getting used to here. All right, let's go over to Scott in Kingston. Scott, you're on with the very serious Chef Eric Bolton.
Hi, I have a question about barbecue sauce. I've been playing around with making barbecue sauce, and I keep finding recipes that use like ketchup as the base, and I was wondering what I can use other than ketchup as like the base of it.
Well, some people use the chili sauce. You know, you can use different canned tomatoes if you let it cook down long enough, you know. I think the key is really like the beginning, just caramelizing a lot of onion and garlic and getting a good base. And then, you know, I usually put only about 5 ingredients in my barbecue sauce. So it's like the base of like onions and garlic, really caramelized tomato and or fruit, and then brown sugar and some type of vinegar. And then basically let it simmer till you get your flavors together and, you know.
Okay. All right. So just basically cook down onions until it gets real, I guess, moist, liquidy, and then go from there.
Yeah. You got to caramelize it. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to get some color on it. You have to get some golden brown color on it.
Hey, Scott, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Let's go to Ricky in Great Barrington. Ricky, you're on.
Hello.
Hello.
I have been thinking ever since you talked about the roast beef that we get at the restaurant that's so tender and moist, and when we do it at home, it's not so good.
Yeah.
You said slow roasting. I'm wondering at what temperature, and I'm also wondering, what do you mean by a moist oven?
How
long do you roast it at what temperature? Oh, my goodness.
Okay. All right, good. You want a pencil to write this down, Chef? All right, so first of all, answer the tough question. What the hell is a moist oven?
Moist oven, well, we have Alto Shams where they're... it's not a conventional oven, so it roasts.
Can we
with...
do it at home?
You could do it in a regular oven, yes, conventional oven.
But, I mean, can I make my regular oven a moist oven by putting, like, a dish of water in it?
You could put moisture, absolutely, stock in with your roast. You could cover it with foil. You could, you know, put a lid on it so it does steam a little bit almost.
All right.
And what is the low temperature that we can cook it at?
Usually about 200 to 250.
Wow. Cool. Thank you.
Good luck. Welcome. Thanks, Ricky. Bye. Over to line three. It's Layla. Hi, Layla. You're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a comment and a question. My comment is the best turkey I ever made was when I put it in the oven, went out, the power went out, the turkey effectively slow roasted in the hot oven for several hours. I came back and finished it off, and it was great.
Cool.
The second thing is I would appreciate the chef's recommendation on how to cook lamb with the herb lavender.
Interesting. Okay. I'm sure you have some ideas.
Yeah, well, as you know, lavender is very strong. It's not for everybody, but, you know, that's what they say about rosemary, too, which is traditionally goes with lamb. It's the most. But I would actually put it with some rosemary and or thyme, too, to kind of, you know, balance it out.
Okay.
Well, have you heard of using lavender with lamb?
Yeah, I like cooking with lavender.
Cool.
Would you rub it on the lamb or make a marinade for it, or what are the options that you think of?
Either way, you know, it's nice to have a dry rub on it, you know, where you can rub it, you can let it sit in the fridge ahead of time and just roast it with the herbs and stuff right on it. You can incorporate it into your gravy or your juice at the end.
Okay, and you say to balance it out with rosemary and thyme, did you say?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks so much.
I love lavender.
I appreciate it. Lavender's just too much for me, though. God, it would just be, I think, too much. I couldn't stand it.
It can be overpowering, yeah.
All right, let's go, and no offense to Layla. I mean, whatever floats your boat. Let's go to Tom in Albany. Tom, you're on.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for taking my call, Chef. So I'm looking to really improve my cooking, and my understanding is that, you know, 90% of what makes a great meal are the pairings of flavors. So first part, is that accurate? And secondly, I can't seem to find any cookbooks or references that can help me understand, like, you know, when I should mix sweet with sour or, you know, tart with tangy. Any recommendations there?
Well, again, a lot of it is trial and error, you know. I don't know if there's written laws on flavor profiles. There are some things.
Well, how did you learn all that stuff? You intuitively know it to some extent based on what you like and what you don't like, but over the years, you have to pick things up. So, I mean, how did you learn all these tricks?
Well, I mean, a lot of it does come from the classical recipes. If you, you know, look at continental cuisine or Asian cuisine or something like that, they have, you know, different spices and things that they generally pair together. So between that and just working, doing this for the past 20 years, like I said, working with other chefs and, you know, everyone has different palates. So
yeah, I could suggest one, Tom. You get a nice cheeseburger and a can of Coke. Fantastic pairing, man. It's really good.
You're right on that.
You got the salt and the sweet. Hey, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate it. Let's go over to Michael in Hudson. Michael.
Hi there. Passover is coming up next week, and I'm going to be making a 7.5-pound brisket.
All right.
It's the first cut. Unfortunately, I could not find any place around here to give me the deckle, the second cut. But how can I prepare this in advance? Once a chef told me to prepare in advance and then freeze it and then defrost it, and it'll be like butter. So what's your secret on making a 7.5-pound brisket so that it will not be overcooked if I'm going to be reheating it, and it'll still be juicy and delicious?
A tricky conundrum there, Michael. Thank you. Well, Chef, what do you
think? My answer off the air.
All right, man. You know, the chef's eyes are rolling back in his head, so I got a feeling this is going to be one heck of an answer. All right, what do you do?
Well, no, it's all, again, that's about slow cooking. You have to take it out. You want to take it out probably a little bit, just a little bit before it's done. You know, when you're sticking in your fork or knife or whatever to check the tenderness. And then you can actually let it cool and sit right in its juices. And then if you can slice it into a pan with those juices and heat it up low and slow like that to bring it back to life and kind of finish it off.
Okay, now we had Rabbi Cutler on a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about Jewish food, and brisket is an art, and there is not, I would say, disagreement, but certainly different ideas about how to do that, when to slice it. The guys who were on here on the show One guy said, I slice it cold. The other guy said, no, you slice it hot. What do you do?
You can do it either way, really. Whatever works for you.
Man, oh man, getting an answer out of you is...
It's easier to take the fat off and clean it when it's hot, you know? But it is easier to slice when it's cold. If you need to prepare it ahead of time and you put it, you know, let it cool overnight, it's easier to slice because it's firmer for you, and you can reheat it up back in that same liquid.
Brisket can be tricky, though, right? It's not the greatest cut of meat as far as...
Right, it's got to be slow cooked for a while. You know, until you really can fork tender.
All right, we're joined today by Chef Eric Bolton. Before we hit the break, here is a... Oh, Rick Orlando checks in. Rick Orlando says, subject, flavor profiling. Hi, Eric. The Flavor Bible is the book. What's the Flavor Bible?
I haven't heard of the Flavor Bible.
Rick, you write in with things we don't know about.
That must be Rick Orlando's personal black book.
Rick Orlando. Uh-huh. You know, he might be. Well, he's won a lot of awards.
Hollywood, you know.
Number to call here is 800-348-2551. We'll take a short break, and then we'll be back home stretch with Chef Eric Bolton and Monica Labrie of Century House.
Support for WAMC comes from Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency, offering a Household Hazardous Waste and Pharmaceutical Collection Day in Kingston for all Ulster County residents on Saturday, April 16th. UCRRA.org for more information. Field Goods, working with Hudson Valley farmers year-round, delivering weekly subscriptions of local produce to workplaces and community locations, supports small farms and healthy eating, field-goods.com. Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, located in the Old Town Hall, Sunderland, Massachusetts, serving globally inspired, locally sourced cuisine, open for dinner Tuesday through Sunday at 5, blueherondining.com. Pave Tile Wood and Stone, using French artisan techniques to manufacture pre-finished oak floors, decorative and terracotta tile, and importing aged French limestone, showroom by appointment and online, pavetile.com. Shire City Sanctuary in downtown Pittsfield, a community makerspace offering screen printing, sewing, and commercial kitchen facilities, day passes and memberships, ShireCitySanctuary.com. And Sutter Meats, King Street, Northampton, providing fresh, local, pasture-raised beef, pork, and lamb. Additional house-made items include rotisserie chickens, bone broths, bacon jam, and handmade sausages, SutterMeats.com.
Food Friday on Vox Pop, 800-348-2551. Ray Graff here. What fun we have been having with Chef Eric Bolton of the Century House in Latham and Monica Labrie, Director of Hospitality at the Century House. What are you unwrapping, Monica? What is that?
Our chocolate mousse.
No, boy, yes. You had me a chocolate mousse. And what was it, little plastic thimbles?
Oh,
what
yeah,
is that?
Packaged up the cool. Way we would for tastings and things like that.
Oh, this is nice. All right. And presumably I'll use my fingers?
I've got little spoons.
Oh, my gosh. This is great. All right. So we'll try the mousse. All right. Tell us. What, you want a scissors?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to know what the chef wants the scissors for. But, okay, so tell us about this recipe.
This is our house recipe. I believe it's devised by Chef So. He's our chef de cuisine. He's usually the only one that makes it.
Yeah.
Unless we have an emergency, but it's gluten-free, it's fantastic. It's on the a la carte menu, it's on the banquet menu.
Okay, so what's in it? I'm going to guess
it's
chocolate,
recipe,
right? It's a secret recipe?
Yeah. No, chocolate, eggs, egg yolks.
Okay. You're going to have some, Jess? Our producer always walks in when there's food. Let's try it. Oh, God. You see, that's the payoff. That's the payoff for the program. Sometimes you get on, the chef's a little difficult, but the food's good. No, he's all right, right? He's okay. Chef Bolton is here, everyone. Let's go to Don in Red Hook. Don, you're on.
Hi. What does the chef think about marinating steak with whiskey, like bourbon?
Bourbon.
Sure. Always a good idea, right?
I've been marinating in it for 25 years. It's very good. Is that all you got? You want another follow-up, Don?
No.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It works. It's going to break it down. You know, I'm going to add some onions and garlic and some other stuff to it, you know, to balance it out. But absolutely.
But don't use the real good stuff, though, right?
No, you save that for
for after.
Okay, thank you.
Don, thanks a lot for the call. Let's go to line two. And Ed in Bethel. Ed, you're on.
Yes, yes. I'm not much of a gardener, but I have all this horseradish growing all over the place. Actually, you can't kill it. And I know how to make the regular horseradish sauce. I always ask people, is there any other kind of recipe that I could incorporate this stuff into?
Horseradish.
Yeah, anything, I guess. I mean, you make prepared horseradish, so you have it ready, I guess.
Yeah.
You jar it and stuff.
Yeah, now that I know how to do.
Well, on Easter, my house, we have we'll have cold kielbasa with horseradish on it, and it's part of the breakfast. It's really nice.
Yeah, you know, the beet horseradish is good to put on things, too, or horseradish, you know, with mayo or whatever for prime rib or something like that.
Yeah, that's good, too.
But other than using it as a sauce, or, I mean, I always use it for Passover. There's nothing that really incorporates the horseradish into a recipe.
Yeah, absolutely. You can mix it with breadcrumbs. You can crust something in it. You know, you can bake a whole roast with a horseradish crust on it. I make a chilled soup with apricot and horseradish, so you get some sweet and you get some hot also.
Yeah.
That sounds interesting. A chilled soup with apricot and horseradish?
Yeah, absolutely.
What do? Grind up the horseradish?
Yep, you can cook it right down with some apricots, onions, apple juice, some stuff like that.
Huh.
Oh, I have to try that.
Well, Ed,
all right, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. My grandmother would occasionally cook corned beef, and she would make a cream horseradish sauce, warm. And it was not that spicy, so it must have been fairly short on the horseradish, but it was very good on that kind of a roast. Her recipe is long gone, I'm afraid. Let's go to Lori in Albany. Lori.
Hi there. Yes, I want to ask the chef what kind of vegan options he has at his restaurant.
Vegan options. All right, now he's handing it over to Monica Labrie. Monica Labrie, you must get this question fairly often.
We do. We accommodate several different, whether it's allergies or restrictions or preferences. The best part, I think, about some of the new things that are happening at the Century House is we've got brand new menus. And with that, a lot of it's customizable. Every dish we have, with the exception of prime rib, we can make a vegan dish.
Right.
We can accommodate any allergy, anything like that. We've done a few. You did a pretty great tofu dish with sesame a couple weeks ago for one of our banquets. We with that aspect, we've got so much at our disposal that we can do a cook to order.
Hmm. Well, that's good.
Yeah, we do a lot of customization too. You know, like she said, if people come in and, you know, there's not something necessarily on the menu that they see that suits their needs or their preferences, you know, if we have time, and most of the time we do, we will make something, you know, for them.
Okay. Lori?
Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot for the call. Well, no follow-ups today. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Now, when things like gluten-free come into play, that makes in other words, if somebody has celiac, it's much more difficult to go, because don't you have to have separate kitchen facilities for something like that to cook true gluten-free?
The true celiac is a little different from gluten-free because there's a lot more restrictions than just wheat. You know, some people it is just wheat.
Right.
But, you know, with the celiac, there's preservatives, there's dried fruits, there's, you know, a myriad of things that they can't have.
So that's more difficult.
Yeah. And, you know, you always do have, we do have different cutting boards and utensils and everything that we do use for special dietary restrictions.
By the way, a follow-up here, I think it's from our producer, Jessica Marshall. The Flavor Bible is by Karen Page and Andrew Dornenberg. So there you go. I'm going to give you this sheet of paper. You can have that.
Thank you, Rick.
Rick Orlando, always helpful. Let's go to Sean in Kinderhook. Sean, you're on.
Hey, Rick. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I heard you say something about the horseradish there. I just wanted to comment on that quick. I like to take horseradish and mix it in with spicy brown mustard and use that on the smoked kielbasa in the morning. That's great.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. I love the Rolf's got the best smoke. Kielbasa. I love it. I got it this year, so you got to try that. And The other thing was steaks. I got a question. What do you think is better? Is it better on propane or would it be better on charcoal to grill?
I think everything's better on charcoal.
I'm with you, man.
Yeah.
I'm with you. And then get some wood chips and wet them and smoke. Get the smoke going. That's good too.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That. Yes. Because generally I use gas, but I've never really had it on charcoal, so I think I'd like to try that.
We made the switch about 2-3 years ago, back from gas grill. My gas grill finally just. It was only one little tiny section of the grill that actually still worked, and so we went to charcoal. It has been the best move we have made. So worth it. Yeah. Hey, Sean, thanks for the call.
Thank you very much. Bye.
800-348-2551. Stay away, Chef. We're almost done. This comes in via email from Mark. Good afternoon, Chef. If you're baking your own homemade pizza, how do you get that New York City thin crust that everybody loves?
I'm not that strong of a baker, I have to say. I'm not great with pizza
dough. And the publicist is shaking her head. Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. I'm a Price Chopper pizza dough guy.
Okay. All right.
I like their dough. It works.
But I got to say, this is like the greatest chocolate mousse I've ever had.
Do you want another one?
No,
I've got it ready.
No, but I might after the show.
Okay, yeah, there's perfect. Many.
I won't tell anyone.
Let's go back to the phones. And Marla in Falls Village. Marla.
The use of capers.
Yes.
Yes.
What's the best use? A sauce?
A lot of great uses. I mean, I love capers. They obviously have a salt content, but I love them in a sauce or in a relish, in a salad. I a lot of times will balance them out with lemon or citrus, something like that.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, because I use it on fish. I'm going to use it on steak tonight.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
You had it on the chicken rillade last week.
I almost eat them by themselves.
Like candy.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Marla.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Have a good weekend. So you just said, Monica, that capers were on what?
We had we're in the fun experimenting process of our new banquet items. And one of the great dishes that Eric prepared for us last week for some of the management staff was a chicken roulade, and he had some capers on that. It was good. I'm not a capers girl. No offense to our caller, but
well, no, it's okay. Not everybody has to like the same thing.
Yeah, no, I don't want to make anyone mad.
So when you plan a banquet menu, then there is a certain amount of experimentation that goes in. You don't just have the usual, boom. We'll have the roast. We'll have this. We'll have that.
Some of it is trial and error. We are cooking for hundreds of people at a time, and the best part I've encountered with the Century House is that we're all minute. So it's not a traditional banquet hall where, it's...
Well, that's minute.
It's minute, yes. We are not from oven to, assembly line, a plate up to a hot box and where it sits and it waits. We are oven to plate to table.
Nice.
So everything we do is live plating. We're one of very few banquet halls locally that even still plate that way.
Well, that requires a lot more personnel, right?
Absolutely. A lot more skill, actually. More personnel could hurt that sometimes. With Eric, he's a machine. So one of us is standing on one line saying, I need this, this, and this. And Eric is a machine, literally getting it out of that oven. It's great.
Number to call here is 800-348-2551. Let's go to Deborah in Conway, Massachusetts. Deborah, you're on.
Hello there.
Hello.
Are you there?
Sure.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
We've heard a lot of advice from the chef. And I usually listen to this show religiously when I'm driving out to Conway because it excites me about cooking. So I would like to know, what excites the chef about cooking? What's the most exciting thing he can tell us about cooking?
I love that question, Deborah.
The most exciting thing for me is, I got into it for artistic, creative reasons. So the most exciting thing for me is... that it always changes, and you can almost do what you want. You can make your own rules. You can make new flavor profiles,
Do you have an exciting moment that you can tell us about when you made something that you just thought, wow, this is cool?
I don't know if anything that sticks out like that, but most every day I try to have a good time, and I try to, make great food that people are going to like, that people are going to get excited about.
Okay, thank you.
Deborah, thanks a lot for the call. What was that one experiment that you made that you said, oh, good heavens, Murgatroyd, I'll never do this again?
I probably blocked that out of my memory because I never wanted to do it again.
You know what? You could deal with, like, serious interrogation, and nobody would get anything out of you. So if you're a spy, you're doing a heck of a job. Chef Eric Bolton is our guest. He is the executive chef at the Century House in Latham. Let's go over at 800-348-2551 to Barbara in Albany. Barbara.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I just wanted to say that we had a luncheon at the Century House last month for about 90 people for my father-in-law, and they were able to accommodate everybody's food needs, which kind of ranged from the traditional meat eater to the vegetarian to the lactose intolerant family members. So they were great customizing a luncheon buffet menu for our family, and everybody went away happy and full. So.
Well, that's great.
That's
great.
Wonderful.
Thank you. That's great to hear.
Thank you so much, Barbara. One of the great things that I'll add to it, and I do hope that you and your guests know about it, for every meal donated at the Century House, we have an Enjoy One, Share One program. So every meal you purchased for your family's event, we donated a meal in its place to the Regional Food Bank.
Oh, that is cool. Yeah, that is great,
also,
by the way.
It's the banquet hall, the restaurant, and even overnight stays. So right now, the program was started in 2009, and we're over 600,000 meals given.
That's giving back. That's very nice.
And it's a true testament to the people we work for. It's great.
Barbara, thanks for the call, and we'll try to get a couple of more calls in here in the waning moments of the program. 800, hang in there. Only a few minutes left, Chef Bolton. 800-348-2551. Let's go to Ginny in Albany. Ginny.
Hi. I'm just making a comment, and that is an exciting moment for me while cooking was to complete a dish called timpano. And it's an Italian dish made with wide lasagna strips, and I'm wondering if Chef ever made that. Very exciting to complete it.
I did. That was a great day for me too. I made one a couple years ago. I had made one with my friend Larry Schapizzi years ago at Tosca, and I kind of made one from leftovers that we had one day in a very high springform pan, and it was great. It was it's a great dish.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
Ginny, thanks a lot for the call. Let's go to Sue in Albany. Hi, Sue. You're on.
Hi. My question for the chef is I made a mole sauce, and it's a little too sweet, and I was wondering how I could make it less sweet.
All right. Tell me again what a mole sauce is.
A mole sauce, it has Mexican chocolate and poblano peppers, and this particular recipe has peanut butter in it, chicken broth, Spanish oregano. And I think I put a little too much of the Mexican chocolate in it, and I've been trying, somebody said to put cream of tartar that would lessen it, and I didn't know if there's, should I add more like unsweetened chocolate or?
Well, depending on the thickness of your sauce too, you can always add a little bit more of the chicken stock in there.
Chicken stock.
Or a little bit more of the peppers to bring some more heat out also and cut down on the sweetness.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thanks a lot for the call. And very quickly here in the winning minute and a half we have Al in Goshen, Massachusetts. Al, you're on.
Hi, I'm wondering if you can help me identify or at least narrow down a fish that my aunt used to make when I was a kid. This is in Rochester, New York, and she used to get a fish at the fish market, and it was very, very thin, and she pan-fried it. And it didn't have a skin on it, and it was super tender, and I recall, she's passed on, I'd ask her, obviously, but it kind of had almost an orange or red tint, and this is back in the late 60s, early 70s.
Okay. Any ideas?
I don't know. It could have been a simple, like a sole or something like that.
What was the word?
Sole?
Could have been a filet of sole.
A sole? So that might be a good place to start.
That's always been a popular fish. It's very thin. It's very mild.
Okay, great. Well, thank you.
Thanks a lot for the call. Okay, so you've made it. You made it through the show.
We did it.
Congratulations. Only one cup of water. Well done, Chef Eric Bolton from Century House and Monica Labrie of the Century House. What's the website, by the way? Do you guys have a website?
Yes, we do. www.thecenturyhouse.com.
Well, thank you both for being here and publicist. You kept your mouth shut. Way to go. Nice going. I've never met a publicist who actually did keep her mouth shut. So Kudos to you. Support comes from the Whistling Kettle Troy and Boston Spa, featuring matcha, a source of antioxidants, new flavors, including peach, raspberry, apple, cinnamon, mocha, and chocolate. TheWhistlingKettle.com. Gloriosa & Company, Ashfield, Massachusetts, planning and catering weddings, showers, reunions, and other gatherings indoors or out at the Curtis House with three rooms available or at a variety of venues around the area. GloriosaCO.com. Sheehy Opticians, Albany, New York, providing eyeglasses including Bevel, LaFont, and Pro Design, progressive lenses from Varilux and Nikon, and Maui Jim, Costa, and Ray-Ban sunglasses. Sheehy Opticians.com. And Viva Fresh Pasta, 30 years and 30 wines by the glass. European cuisine infused with flavors of the world, Northampton, Massachusetts. Grab life by the knife and fork. VivaFreshPasta.com. Thanks again to Chef Eric Bolton and Monica LaBrie for being here today. And thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Your phones are answered by Barb King. Our producer, Jessica Blaustein. Marshall, I'm Ray Graff. Have a lovely weekend. Alan will be back Monday at 2 for Medical Monday.